This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. All right, check out all things The Ticket at theticketfm.com. Jake, in 1984, this former Husker was selected second overall by the Houston Oilers. Remarkably, the top pick that year went to his Husker teammate, Irving Fryer. This marked only the second time ever that the top two picks in the NFL draft came from the same school. Who was the player selected number two overall that year?
I believe that'd be Dean Steinkuhler.
Nailed it. That a boy. We forgot to do Carriker's Trivia Challenge. Or did we do it last week or not?
I think we did not.
I'm going to blame you. I don't know if it's your fault, but I'm just going to blame you. Does that work for you?
Fair enough. Yeah.
I feel like that's how my house works, so why can't I translate that elsewhere? All right. I thought this was interesting. Matt Rhule's third year. The year of the infamous Rhule leap, right? You could argue that Scott Frost recruits are largely no longer around the program for whatever the reason may be. But when you look at the trenches right now, when you come to projected starters, two of the three starters on the D-line and three of the five starters on the O-line, 63%, are potentially still Frost guys, if you will. On the offensive line, Letovsky, Corcoran, and Evans. On the D-line, going to count him, Cam Lenhart, Riley Van Poppel. Did you realize that? And what do you think of that, Jake?
I really have been impressed with at least Riley Van Poppel this offseason and what he looks like. I wish we could see, you know, obviously this in the spring game. But, yeah, I mean, there's going to be questions. You mentioned earlier how they're still potentially looking for edge rushers. And it's just one of those I believe in the defense line. They're growth with some of the young players. But who they have to replace, we'll have to wait to see it until we believe it when I see it, right?
Beautifully said. What about 63% of the players in the trenches potentially being Frost guys to start?
You're
not avoiding that, by the way. Not letting you out of that.
Well, I mean, there were some good, like the Cam Jurgens situation that we had here. There were some good things coming out of the Frost era. There weren't many, like, there's some good stories. It wasn't the overall team record. But, you know, I think that it's one of those deals too, where it's just the third year, right? I mean, some of these guys you would hope would be Frost guys still in the program. No, we have this idea that Frost guys bad, move on from them, all that sort of things.
Frost guys bad,
but it should make sense that some of your juniors and seniors were recruited here and hopefully developed here. I know in college football it's a different kind of way of doing it now as opposed to in the past, but. A stat like that doesn't bother me too much.
It's interesting because obviously you're going to associate certain players with certain coaches and certain eras, and I think that's a logical thing to do. Being a former Husker myself, I just try to connect everybody as a former Husker. You're my Husker brother. That's how I try to look at it. I shared this years ago. I don't think I've shared it many times because when I heard it, I'm not going to be lying, it pissed me off. There was a former Husker who was at an event that Scott Frost was at, and Scott Frost had just been hired. And this guy played when I played in Nebraska. So for those who don't know, I was recruited by and committed to play for Frank Solich. The first half of my career was under Solich, the second half was Callahan. And this guy played with me that whole team. We were in the same class. He met Frost that night, and later on he was kind of around Frost. Frost didn't know he was there within earshot of him. And somebody asked Frost, who is that guy? And he goes, yeah, he's one of those Callahan Huskers. If you can't tell, still to this day, Callahan Husker itself, I mean, you could say Riley Husker, Frost Husker, Pelini Husker, whatever. But the intent behind what he meant when he said that still pisses me off to this day. So I know you were joking. Ooh, Frost guy bad. I know it was a joke. But I think I've only shared that one other time before. But stuff like that really makes me mad because there's an inherent disrespect and arrogance behind it. So for me, when I look at this, I don't care who your original coach was. I honestly don't care at all. I've said before, when I look at my teammates, when I was a player, I didn't care about anything. Were you going to work hard? Were you going to help us win football games? Whatever that looked like. And then I went on to talk about, if you're on the scout team, give us a great look. If you're a starter, you better be leading the charge. Whatever the case may be, even if you're not a loud guy, do it through your actions. Action speaks so loudly, can't hear anything people say anyways. So for me, it was interesting when I saw that, because I was like, that is an interesting stat. I also hope we just look at guys as football players, Nebraska football players. And I hope, and guys who won championships with teams, like those should be immortalized forever. And I use the word immortalized because I was a Hulkamaniac growing up, but they should be immortalized forever. But as far as, you know, this era, this coach, that coach, hey, I look at guys as you're my Husker brothers. And I do think, I was a little surprised that potentially 63% of the starting guys in the trenches could be from players who committed to play for Frost. I thought that was kind of an interesting stat. It also shows to me what I've said all along is that Frost could recruit. I'm like, no, guys, he can recruit. He doesn't develop for jack crap, but he can recruit. Hopefully Matt Rhule can take those guys and develop them in the two areas where we've got some question marks, which is on the offensive line, especially a young, talented, inexperienced defensive line. And hopefully he can develop them into impact players sooner rather than later, preferably, you know, starting August 28th when we head to Arrowhead. This is a guy I've actually been talking about for a couple of years, because when he was a freshman, he started games at a guard. He started games at a center, which that snapping element, if you remember Cam Juergens' early days at Nebraska, moving from tight end, putting on weight, that was a challenge. It's not as easy as it looks. I think he's figured it out now. My point is, going from guard to center isn't as seamless or easy as some people might think, especially with the snapping element, especially when you're a freshman. You don't see it with freshmen very often, because that center is the quarterback of the O-line. He's the one making the calls. He's the one doing this and that amongst the offensive line, mostly because he's geographically located right in the center of the line and everybody can hear him. They tend to be smaller and they tend to be really smart. And so for him to do those things, start at a guard and a center as a freshman, I was like, that's rare. So now you've got Dana Holgorsen and Matt Rhule have both said that they believe Justin Evans should be up for every award this year at his position. Those are strong words. It makes me think of Adrian Martinez going into his sophomore year when Scott Frost is like, he may be the best quarterback to ever play at Nebraska by the time we leave here. I didn't love those comments then. Obviously, hindsight is 20/20. When you say every award, I'm kind of like, okay, how about he's just going to be really, really good? But my point is, he's starting to now, I believe, come into his own, and I'm excited to see what he can do this year. And there's a chance he may be up for a lot of awards. We'll see how it plays out. This is one of my favorite stories of the spring so far. Jacob Bauer. All right. He recorded 116 tackles in his senior season with 9 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks, 3 pass breakups, an interception, and fumble recovery. Was also one of the top 18 and under rugby players in the country in high school. Walked on here at Nebraska. Matt Rhule announced last week, if you didn't hear, walk-on linebacker Jacob Bauer will be on scholarship. They actually released the video of it over the weekend. Matt Rhule quote, and I quote, "This kid's got nothing and he plays this good?" End quote. These are the stories that I love. These are the stories that I grew up watching. These were the players, my favorite teammates that I admired. I tended to admire walk-ons just a little bit more. My brother-in-law now, you know, is a walk-on, so I met my wife, but they're doing everything that we're doing, a scholarship guys, and they're paying for school. Now, obviously, legislature has changed the game of football with the walk-ons and everything else. But if you watch him, he's just a football player. Have you ever played rugby? Those guys are half nuts. Like I say, you got to be a little bit off your rocker to play defense and football. Rugby guys are nuts. And I mean that in the most positive manner I possibly can. I know it may not sound that way, but so when I was in Florida, Pensacola, I had 6 knee surgeries on my right knee. I was down there rehabbing the Andrews Institute. One of the professional rugby teams from South America was having their 2-week camp there. And so for 2 weeks of the, whatever it was, 4 or 5 months that my family and I lived down there, like they were doing 2-a-days. And I thought rugby players were nuts before then. They're bananas. They're flat out bananas. They're nutso. And I loved it. I loved it. We got along so well. What's that say about me? I don't know. But I freaking loved it. They were fun to watch. They were fun to interact with. And they were, it's like, I forget how many rugby players are on the field at once when they're out there during the game. But let's just say there's 11. It was like 11 defensive players on the field at all times with the mentality and the way they went at it. It's nonstop football with no pads, basically. And so anyways, this is one of my favorite stories of the spring. Jacob Bauer earning a scholarship. All right, you got any thoughts on anything I just chatted about there, Jake?
Well, yeah, I'm excited to see what Jacob Bauer can become. Obviously, it's kind of frustrating that this could be one of the last walk-on stories, but it's just kind of cool that if you saw the video, Matt Rhule was, and he said as much in the press conference too, is this isn't like this special moment where they see something. Like, he's made it undeniable. Like, mm-hmm. he is one of the best linebackers, one of the best playmakers they have there at their position, so they've got to play him. You know, in some of those top units. So that's very cool. I'm also a little bit hesitant with the Justin Evans praise. Not that he couldn't be good. It's just the last decade, I could never get rid of the Joshua Kalu's going to be the best safety once we move him there over from corner, you know, that sort of thing. You mentioned it. I think before Scott Frost said that Adrian Martinez makes throws in practice. You only see from that guy down there in Kansas City. You know, we did have the Cam Jurgens one that Scott Frost said that ended up being true as far as one of the best centers to play at Nebraska, but it just put him on this spot that was impossible to get to regardless of what he did. So I'm always a little bit hesitant on those, hey, this could be the best guy at his position to say that sort of thing when he's not going to probably make an all Big Ten, like a preseason all Big Ten type of team. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done to kind of get into that category. But if two coaches, Dan Holgorsen and Matt Rhule, two very successful coaches over the last couple of years, several years, I should say, see it, then it does highlight that and make you excited about maybe they won't have too much of a drop off and maybe even a step up from Ben Scott, who's one of the better players last year.
Yeah, I'll be honest. If you listen to me consistently over time, anytime something like this is, I don't like it when things like this are said. Number one, we haven't earned the right to say it as a program. Okay, we haven't had an individual player who's earned the right to have things said about them like this to this level very often at all lately. Ty Robinson, and then what would be the previous one before that? And it wasn't even said about Ty Robinson going into the season. I'll never forget chatting with him at Big Ten Media Days. He was rated in the 70s, and like his pass rush was like a 60-some. And I remember Amon, who's a big-time gamer, being like, what grade would you like to change the most? And he's like, oh, my pass rush grade. And then he just smiled. He goes, mid-season grades are coming. But like, I don't personally like it. To me, it creates unnecessary pressure. It gets people excited, but it's got to be deeper than the kitchen sink. In other words, it's actually got to happen more often. And for me, I like when Mike Eckler said, we're going to let our pads do the talking. When he said that at his first press conference, some weeks or months back, whenever it was, I was like, yes, thank you. That's what I would prefer. To each their own. That's what I would prefer. We are going to save the Nebraska football player grid. And again, I don't want to spend a ton of time on this. I thought it was interesting. If nothing else, because James Williams is on here and Sam Keller is on here. Killed my NCAA football video game, but it's back now. So I almost forgave him. It'd be better if the game was better. Can you play defense on that game?
No, it's got some glitches they need to work on.
It's like, oh my God, I can't stop nobody. I'm not this bad, am I? All right. When we come back, rugby-style punting, why it is better. Learn about that. And again, we will save that Nebraska football player grid for tomorrow. I don't want to dive too much into it. I just thought a couple of things were interesting. Mostly, I'm going to make Jake talk about it, and I'm just going to sit here and nod my head because I don't want to get in the middle of that. But I do think it's fun to chat about. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go. It was interesting when Will Compton was like trying to act like he's not offended that he was the average player loved by fans, like, you know, 10-year NFL career, average, all that stuff. And then there was quite the debate between fans with him being average or not average or whatever. But again, we'll chat about that tomorrow. That is supposed to be a for fun topic. Don't take it too serious. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save.